Call from the Dáil on Kerry Today with John Downing.
Yeah, John Downing of the Irish Independent with us for Call from the Dáil. John, good morning to you and thanks for joining me in the programme. We'll talk
Hello,
in a moment.
Hello, Jerry.
How are you? We're talking a moment about Jack Chambers, but we're going to talk first about the National Development Plan. $500 million in funding for Kerry, Killarney to Varn 4 bypass, the Cork-Kerry Economic Corridor, as the phrase is amongst the civil servants. Michael Healy-Ray, Minister Michael Healy-Ray, out front saying the Healy-Rays are at the table. They're now delivering, of course, their government-supporting colleague, tenuous colleague, I suppose you'd call it, Michael Cahill of Fianna Fáil, saying, nonsense, this is all down to the fact that the people of Kerry had the wisdom to elect a second Fianna Fáil TD.
Now we're
pulling our weight.
So there you are, Glenbey versus Kilgarvan, we go again. This push-pull will continue. Michael Cahill, you'd have to give him, you know, he's up against some formidable foes. We've had this discussion before, and Michael Cahill kind of came out ahead last time. Well, the Kilgarvan boys and girls are pretty formidable foes, so this will go on. But Kerry may be the winner. I mean, it is very good news. I remember the only really good road in Kerry long ago, when I first went down there working, was the Killarney to Tralee road. But of course, it's been overtaken by events and by numbers and roundabouts and bypasses and all that. They're very necessary, but it's very good news for Kerry. It's a positive, and I like, believe it or not, as a lifetime journal, all my adult life a journalist, I actually like good news stories.
Yeah, amazingly enough, this is a good news story as well for the West, John. Projects in Donegal, projects in Galway, projects in Limerick and projects in Kerry. Some criticism that not enough was delivered for Dublin. Now, whatever about that, the West of Ireland probably say, well, it's about time. But the other side of this is that there's been a pretty major rebalancing of the commitment of the last government, or the green tinge commitment. Every €2 spent on transport, two of it, every three, two needs to be for public transport, one needs to be for roads. Well, the tar now, as the Healy-Rays would call it, it's pretty much one for one. So they're changing focus, are they?
It seems so, yes. And I mean, one thing, right, the Greens, now people, I did work for the Greens, as you know, Jerry. I did press work for them as a professional. I ain't no Green. However, I learned a lot from them. And what strikes me when I'm driving around the country is the number of buses, particularly, and the numbers on trains have gone through the roof. However, they're not enough. They're absolutely not enough. And I mean, I know, for example, if you drive out of Dublin and if you were going to the northwest, somewhere just slightly west of Mullingar, you run out of road, you run out of highway, and you're back and you're looking at the back of a tractor in Termin Barry or some such place. And the towns in the northwest aren't even bypassed. So, you know, there you are. But progress is being made. It is Friday morning, the end of a hard week for a lot of people. Let's try to be positive. Progress
Indeed.
Is being made, and good news for Kerry with the Killarney Farn 4 bypass coming through.
Yeah. John, there was a time when politicians in this country were afraid of the belt of the crozier from a bishop or an archbishop or even a cardinal, God forbid. The government given a right bash with the calculator. Is that what they are afraid of? Or are they even afraid of it? The Fiscal Advisory Council, spending like drunken sailors, 14 billion underlying debt. We saw what Jack Chambers, you heard what Jack Chambers said there, saying, look, we'll take note of it, but we are moving to moderate current spending at the moment in a couple of years' time. So what do you make of all this? Are they right, or is it a case like Pascal Donoghue's gone out the door now? He didn't seem to pay much attention to what the Fiscal Advisory Council ever said to him, did he?
Yeah, absolutely. Not much. No, Seamus Coffey, a man from Capamore in East Limerick, who's the professor or one of the academics in UCC in Cork. He delivered it, and the tone, I mean, he actually said he went in and he met Simon Harris soon after his appointment and, discussed the whole thing. You talking quietly to the economists around the system, and they put out these warnings, periodically. And, I mean, this one is, the tone of it is much harsher. For example,
very saying, harsh.
Whatever happened to 2027? We only have planning up to the end of next year, which is basically kind of 13 months away. Whatever happened to the following year and so on? So it really is quite harsh. And it does reflect, I think, a certain sense of, frustration with the political system. We are hopefully not looking back at 2008 and the crash and all of that. So let's recall that the Fiscal Advisory Council was founded to advise politicians and forewarn them and avoid a rerun of 2008. So, it's a tricky one. They don't. I mean, basically, your point, Jerry, they do not take account of what the economists say. They go their merry way. Yes, they have the alibi.
Is that, John, because they don't have to get elected? The Fiscal Advisory Council don't have to get elected in 3 or 4 years' time.
Well,
the
short termism comes in then. Yes. I mean, it does require a mix. These guys deliver economic advice, but it has to be leavened by political reality. And in his sort of exit interviews, Pascal Donoghue was saying, look, if I stuck a queer ball of money in the bank and told everyone, great stuff, we're now safe, we have it all saved up, well, I wouldn't do much for people. And there is a point. It has to be leavened by political reality. However, I think what and the economists, when you talk to them privately, they'll tell you, look, we accept political reality is what it is. However, they have reached a point where they're saying, look, guys, you have to. You have to be real. You can't. Yeah. Because if we get another crash and we are as vulnerable as we were in 2008, it's going to be kind of soup kitchens, I mean, it's going to be a mess.
Indeed. Okay, John, stay with us on the line. We've got an issue now, and I spoke to Jack Chambers about this as well. Probably the biggest issue for the government is housing. It came up in the rental form yesterday in the Dáil, a particularly tetchy row between Simon Harris and Piers Doherty. Have a listen.
Ban rent increases. Stop filling the pocket of landlords. And you know something? Maybe you tell the truth. You told the public, you made a solemn promise to them that if you got re-elected, you would increase the renter's tax credit. You broke that promise, like so many others, Simon. Because Simon says on one hand, Simon does on the other hand. The election is over and Simon doesn't care. You have prioritised landlords, developers, and you have left renters abandoned.
I don't understand the Sinn Féin policy that opposes every single support for small landlords to try and keep them in the market. And then wants to make sure we have more rental properties available. How do you wish to have rental properties without landlords? And yet you demonise small landlords across this country and oppose every single measure. Mom and pop landlords, people in my constituency and yours, renting out one property or two, you demonise them. We need them to stay in the market. Yet you want to drive them out and increase rental property. It doesn't make sense. It's probably why you're celebrating your 15th anniversary as the opposition spokesperson in finance. Five finance ministers later, you're still sitting sitting in the same seat because the people of Ireland don't trust you when it comes to the economy. They know that the angry jack-in-the-box routine doesn't build homes, Piers. It doesn't build homes. It doesn't build homes. And last down for Angry Pierce, and last count Corda, in the extra time available to me that was available to Deputy Doherty, can I point out that there's only one party in this House that is receiving very significant financial funding from builders and construction companies. The published accounts of Friends of Sinn Féin in the United States of America show that of your €366,000 in donations, you know where the bulk came from? Construction companies and builders. You know where the biggest donation came from?
Order.
One construction company in America that gave you $20,000. You tell the young people of Ireland you're on the side of the working people.
Yeah, there you go. And on it went for a while yesterday in the Dáil, John. Particularly Tetchy Row there. I couldn't believe that Piers Dart has been 15 years spokesperson for Sinn Féin.
Isn't it extraordinary? I remember him taking the High Court case which led to the forcing of the by-election in Donegal, which finally brought him into the Dáil chamber. He had been a senator prior to that. But 15 years, we're getting old, Gerry.
We are indeed. A bit of needle there. And that was said intentionally. In other words, like, here I am, I'm Minister for Finance now, you'll never be Minister for Finance. It was quite personal, I thought.
Oh, absolutely. Howl at the moon, why don't you? And, you know, we began talking about Michael Cahill versus the Healy's Ray, Ross Bay, Glen Bay versus Kilgarvan. Well, here we are in another version of the same thing taken to national level. Interesting, and digging in, Simon Harris going through, unearthing the Sinn Féin finances. Of course, Sinn Féin, perhaps one of the best resourced political party financially in the country. But Piers Doherty, a very good point to be made about the travesty of housing and the lack of supply and where it's becoming impossible even to rent at an extortionate rate, let alone buy.
So, and what about that element of it, John, when it comes to that very debate? We're seeing figures out, and this is what Piers Doherty was talking about, RTB figures out showing that, rents are up, massive increases year on year. Then we have the figures showing that landlords, because of an intervention made by the government in terms of strengthening tenants' rules, this six-year rolling tenancies, and that every time the government intervene in the market, you're going to have, at least in the short to medium term, these negative consequences of perhaps maybe less landlord houses available to rent to people before things get better.
This is always a danger, and you actually, anecdotally, you pick up going around the place, well, because if the Shinners get elected, I'm out of here. A person who owns a property or two that they may be renting, and that's income, and that's perfectly legitimate, regular economic behavior in this country. There is evidence that smaller landlords are exiting the market ahead of this six-year rule, which will kick in March. But similarly, anytime somebody says, well, Sinn Féin may head the next government, they say, well, that's me and my landlordism, and I'm done, and I'm out of here.
But then, John, you have other people who will say, well, they couldn't do any worse on housing than the current government. And that's probably going to be Sinn Féin's strongest card over the next number of years, depending how long this government lasts, that they'll say, look, they promised you the last time they would fix it. They haven't. You have to give us a chance.
Certainly. That is out there, and that will be there. I mean, how much Sinn Féin could improve things is entirely debatable. The same issues of, capacity and space and planning and all of that, they're all out there. But certainly, the government got a pass this time 12 months ago on the basis that, you know, things are actually on the up, and they managed to create this idea despite we've had this discussion, despite, you know, minor players like the central bank and the ESRI and others saying, look, actually the housing thing is stuck, it's not gone anywhere. But the government managed to purvey this idea that, you know, we've turned the corner, we're going to get there. And of course it came out early in this new year, which was then the new year 2025. News came out, the hard statistics came out saying, well, you know what, the central bank and the ESRI and others, they're right.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Here we go again, you know.
Okay, John, listen, we're going to leave it there. Thanks a million for talking to us on the programme this morning. That's John Downing of the Irish Independent with Call from the Dáil. If you have a view on what he had to say about the Dáil Week, we want to hear from you. Lots more on the way. We'll have more from Orbitus and other things to get to on the show after we take these.